हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 5. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses. Shri Krishna 1-17, Shri Krishna's flute song. 18-27, Krishna teases the young gopis. 28-41, the gopis react and respond. 42-48, enjoyment on the bank of the Jamuna and the pride of the gopis. Verses 1-17, Shri Krishna's flute song. Shri Bhadarayani said, Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Footnote 2. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 1 to Bhagavad Akramrichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa. Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section. Doesn't say which chapter?
Chapter 20.
20, okay. Here it is, chapter 20, okay. Oh, okay, because in the other ones they generally... 19? They generally put the...
In the next book.
They generally put the 19. Well, this one was written in letters, so... I didn't catch it. No, yeah.
Here it also.
Yeah, here, but 20 is all written like that. The other one was... Oh, no, maybe it's... Okay.
Always
20. Grammatically correct. So. Okay, so the sweetness of rasa. So just that whole aspect of how sweet rasa is, how that mood is, and the pleasantness of it. Right? 19 is showing the variety that's there. The different aspects that would be there. And this one is just showing that sweetness. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Vyasa performed great austerities at Badri Gashrama. As a result, Sukadeva was born as his son. Thus, Sukadeva was endowed with omniscience and prema full of rasa. Because this work is uttered by him, it should be full of rasa in execution and result. Thus the word Bhadarayanihi, son of Vyasa, is used, and therefore it should be heard with devotion. So it should be appreciated. Don't just sit wherever is available. Don't get into that, because... Yes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura writes, when Krishna desired to taste the sounds, beauty, youth, fragrance, sweetness, cleverness, and attractive dancing and singing in millions of the most effulgent gopis with his own senses, and when the gopis desired to taste his sounds, beauty, youth, sweetness, and cleverness, controlled by the gopis' love. The yoga maya energy, expert at performing the impossible, inspired by Krishna's satyasankalpa shakti, made millions of nights suitable for pastimes appear within the one night. Therefore, nights is in the plural in this verse. This is later stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Ratra Upavrite. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-38. This night became the length of Brahma's nights. Right? Brahma's night. So it was so many nights. Right? But it's because just the Satyasankalpa Shakti with his yoga maya like this, then they all do all these amazing things. So the point is Krishna is using his mystic power because that's just who he is. That's how he does it. But he'll always do it in the interactiveness of the human form. That's the whole point. It's just like when he's sitting with the cowherd boys. Then when you sit, humans, they sit down and they all sit around and start talking with each other. Right? But what's the weakness in the human pastime of doing that? You have one person and everybody sits around. Then what's the problem? Yes, somebody at the back, someone's talking, someone else can't get, you know, it's not like that. So at Krishna, he sits down, they all sit around, and then he deals with each one at the same time. You know, or unless it's something that will, everybody will be, so some joke with Madhu Mangal or that, then the whole group will like it, or, but the looks and this and that, so he does that all at once. Same when he comes into Dwarka. So sometimes we might think that these things take forever because each one comes up, does his thing, says his thing. But much of the time, these things go on at the same time. You know, the little glance, the little this and that. When it's going through the formalities, that'll, of course, go in that order. Does this make sense? So these abilities of Krishna, that's just his nature. And everybody's very happy because he's able to deal with everybody at the same time. He's able to dance with each gopi at the same time and interact. Specifically, because it mentioned here, when the gopis desired to taste, you know, all these aspects of Krishna controlled by the gopis' love, right? So that's the whole thing. The feminine nature is to taste the affection that comes by their control. That's the whole aspect. So it's, but what are you controlling? You want to control the sounds, the beauty, the use, sweetness, and cleverness. Like that, to bring out the taste of rasa. So what wants to be tasted at which moment, then that's what they're working on. Right? So then, therefore, if he's with each gopi, then they can each do that. Otherwise, it says here, when it says millions of gopis, it literally means millions of gopis. The Maharas is millions of gopis. It's not, you know, a handful. Right? It was just Radharani and her group, then it'll be just that size. But Maharas means all the groups are there. You know, so you're talking about a lot of gopis. You know, we have to remember, Goloka is big. Right? And even though it said, Krishna said this, what is it? He said 10 kroshas or 5 kroshas?
Five
kroshas. That's how wide Vrindavan is. But the point is it still will accommodate unlimited devotees. You know, if you go to measure it, that's how big it is. Because that's all the bigger it needs to be just to be there. But when you accommodate, then it's bigger. Like that? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's just the potencies fulfill his desires. That's what's going on. Okay. Though it is contrary to season, here it is stated that the jasmine flowers blossomed in the autumn. In the 13th chapter, it is also stated, at the time of the rasa dance, the garland of jasmine flowers on Krishna's neck became tinged with the kumkuma from Radha's breast. Thus it should be understood that the jasmines blossomed unseasonally in the autumn season. Because they're generally a summer. You know, all the like very fragrant white flowers are all the summer, you know, when it's super hot. But they're the nicest flowers, they're Krishna's favorite. So then they're blooming in that time of year so they can make garlands. Also it is said, the place became pleasant with the wind carrying the aroma of blossoming lotus flowers. From this it is understood that though the lotus does not bloom at night, on this special night the lotuses also bloom, because lilies will bloom at night. Lotuses bloom in the day. Like that. Like you'll notice lilies, like we mentioned, the ones that are here, you come, they're open from when you come in early, they're there, but by the time you leave, that's when they're starting to close. Because as soon as the sun comes and gets hot, they close. That's when the lotuses come out. But because it's so nice, the lotuses, therefore, they're also blooming at night. Right? So all this is being arranged. It means I think there is one kind of lotus that blooms at night from the moon, like that. But this is being pointed out that it's not just that one. It's also these others. Thus, the place is called Vrindavan. Thus, the place called Vrindavan had a special attractiveness. So it's all just what will be nice for Krishna, what he would like. So these are the nicest things. So then they're all arranged. If the verse were to state that Krishna enjoyed with the women of Braja, some people would conclude that Krishna enjoyed as a mortal human with the woman. Thus the phrase Rantum Manas Chakre is used. This phrase indicates that Krishna's enjoyment was internal, not external. Some may object that though the enjoyment was internal, it was at the request of the gopis to please them, because they were devotees. However, the word chakre in Atmane pada, voice, okay, indicates that he desired for his own pleasure. He wanted to do that. They have that love, they have that attraction, but he wanted to enjoy those pastimes with them at that time. So it is his interest. Thus, though Krishna is Bhagavan, fully satisfied in himself, he desired to enjoy the women of Raja filled with prema. This indicates the special attractiveness of those women. This is similar to expressions showing the special attractiveness of Krishna. Quote, though they were self-satisfied, Atmarama, the Munis developed devotion to Krishna. End quote. So like that, then you have the Munis are self-satisfied. So that's the point. Self-satisfied is just a situation. Then what you do with that. So if these impersonalists, they just enjoy being self-satisfied. That's it. You know, it's not anything more than that. But here is that these great sages, the Atmaramas, then they're in the situated as Atmaramas, but their interest is to please Krishna, to be involved in his pastime. So the pleasure of that service to Krishna, that becomes important.
So Maharaj, how can you understand that, like Mahayana Buddhists, they want to get liberation, but after liberation they want to benefit others and everybody. So can we say
there's... But what does that mean, benefit others?
Different ways, right? Help them realize or give them like even material, you know, convenience, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So the ones that became self-realized and want to give all the material benefits to all the nice welfare work and take care of the people, those are the ones that came up to that level, found it quite boring, and then came back down and then started doing welfare work because they get more taste out of it. Right? And the ones that got liberated and they want to continue to train others how to function in the liberated platform, then they may still be on the liberated platform. But the point is this is beyond that. That's why mostly you see them come back. Because there's no taste. Because for the soul, that you are liberated, that means you're free from all material entanglement. But being freed from all material entanglement is only good as long as you remember the pain of the entanglement. As soon as the pain of the entanglement's gone, then what's the fun? Right? Let's say you're outside in the summer.
Yeah.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
Okay, you go inside. The AC is on. There's a nice big chair there. You sit down in the chair. The breeze is blowing. It's cooling. You're still hot, but the cooling breeze feels very nice. So how long will that cooling breeze feel nice? The next 7 days? Or you'll just sit in that chair because it's so much ecstasy? No, as long as you feel hot. As soon as you cool down and you're not hot anymore, then you're going to get up and then go do something else, like see what's in the refrigerator or something. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that the enjoyment of this Brahman then is overrated, because it's only appreciated as long as you can see the contrast between it and the material world. When there's no contrast, then what's the meaning? You know, if you're hungry, then food tastes good. If you're not hungry, food doesn't taste good. That's the problem with the material. So here what we're saying is that even though he's fully satisfied, he wants to enjoy the rasa with the gopis. And the gopis, being Atmaramas, they also are beyond that position of just liberation. They want to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So the whole point is liberation is the first stage of spiritual understanding, not the last. That's the weakness, is that they take it as the last, it's the final. No, that's where it starts. Is that? Yes.
Sometimes devotees, they make a parallel between the five main rasas and the five kinds of liberation. Is that a valid thing to do?
But why would you why in Braja Bhakti, which is freed from all concerns of liberation, would you compare? Why would we compare them?
Because on the process of elevation of the soul, we go through different stages. We reject Sayuja liberation, then the four kinds of liberation, then whatever, and then we come to Braja Bhakti. And then apparently, you know, Shantarasa isn't there. It's not like a prominent rasa.
It's there, all the cows, trees, yeah. Birds, everybody's there, but it's not the one that you hear. That's it means a few here and there it'll be discussed, you know, like that story with Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna's, yeah, all the trees and all that, that's then glorifying that.
Yeah, so then on the way, then we have to go through different stages. So then at one stage we might be attracted to Sarupya or Salokya or Sarshti or whatever.
But that's just liberation.
Yeah, it's a Vaishnava liberation.
Yes, but it's just liberation. It's just like the guy's on fasting and he's attracted to food.
Yeah.
Does it matter which food?
Not really.
So that's the whole point, is that he has to give up being attracted to food on a fast day.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if he's attracted to the halava, or if he's attracted to the paneer sabji, or if he's attracted to the samosas, or the gulab jamun. It doesn't matter. He has to give up whatever it is. So it's just one group, liberation. That's why it always says that the devotees aren't interested in liberation. Right? So that's not why they're doing it. None of the Brajabhasis are doing because they will be in the same place or the associate. They're doing just to please Krishna. And because of that, then they're qualified. It already includes liberation. That's what was being pointed out in the previous chapter, is that liberated position they already had. Braj is already on that, but it's the liberated platform is being shown in its most sweetness. So liberation is there just on its own. You know, not so special. Then you have liberation with opulence, that's Vaikuntha. When you have liberation with sweetness, that's Vrindavan. So liberation is just the platform on which it sits. You know, it's just like if I bring you an empty plate. It's a nice plate, but it's an empty plate. That's liberation. You know, so it's not that great. It's a nice plate, you know. Okay, it's Naritaki, and I like the blue, and nice designs, but, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So then I can put all those things down, very formal, all the forks, the knives, the this, the that, everyone sits down, everyone stands up, anyone gets up or down, they're all standing, and this and that, and then you come in, put this on, take that away, use this fork, this spoon, and this. Now and again, someone dinks their glass and stands up to make a toast and all that, and everybody does that, so the meal takes you 4 hours. That's Vaikuntha. Right? Then you sit down, same meal, everyone sits, talks nicely and all that, engages and all that. That's Vrindavan. So it's not that the opulence is not there, it's just nobody cares about that. It's about the meal and the association and all that kind of thing. While Vaikuntha, it's about the formality, the rules and regulations, this one comes, then that one, and then everything like that. Does that make sense? And liberation's the plate. That's it.
That's it. No plate.
Huh?
Buddhism, not even.
Yes, no plates, so that's why we don't even really say they're liberated, because it's just nothing, you know, it's like you end up with nothing. You know, it's like now they have their little bowl they clip onto their belt, but in liberation, there's no bowl, you know, so if you want to eat, there's nothing there, right? I mean, there's no bowl and there's nothing to eat, so it's like, you know, if that's better, then why not, you know?
But they won't eat.
They're not, because they don't exist, so you don't have to worry about it. Is that so? I wouldn't stretch it to that, to say that, because let's say you have, okay, let's just take Dwarka, okay, and all those associates are there, and you have all the five rasas, right, in Dwarka.
Yes.
Now, are they all not in Dwarka?
Yeah.
Everyone's in Dwarka, so that's Salokya.
Yeah.
And now, is everyone there that's interacting with Krishna, are they not associates? So then all of the rasas, then they're all, what do you call it?
Samipya,
right? Now, they all have qualities and opulences in such a way that they belong in Dwarkas, so their associates, they're able to interact with Krishna. So then they have the same opulences. You know, same opulences and forms that match, so they're matching forms. So all five liberations are there. It's just that that's not why they're there. Vaikuntha, it's about appreciating those liberations. I'm sure you could also be there not for that, but the point is then, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I means I don't see how you would specifically connect them with the rasas, because the point is the cows are also with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The cows are also associates of Krishna. He goes out with them every day. That's why he's known as Gopal. Right? You know. So, you know, if you're, because the thing is it's not that the jiva is going through these levels that you start off, you know, like that, and you get serious and that, and then you start, you know, advancing, and then you know, one day you're liberated, and then you just, you know, I don't know what would happen there, if, you know, if you just disappear or something like that, and then the next stage, you know, then you come up to another stage, and then you start mooing and stuff like that, and then the next stage, and you're running around trying to clean the house and all that, and the next stage, you're there with your cows ready to take Krishna out, and then the next stage, you go through the next liberation, and then now you're a parent of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's, we don't go up through the rasas like that in the practice. So I wouldn't see the advantage to connecting them like that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's five liberations and five rasas. I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to put them together. Right? You know, you can say there's a similarity on one level between Shanta Ras. No, there isn't. It's that you understand how Krishna is all-pervading and everything like that. So you appreciate the Brahman platform, but you're appreciating Krishna from that platform. So because they see Krishna and everything and they're working, they never feel separation because they're always with him. Because it's their service is all that remembrance of Krishna, that absorption in appreciating Krishna. So that's why it's sometimes considered, it's like jnana, but at the same time it's bhakti. Now the method's the same as a jnani, but it's done in devotion. But they're not thinking that they're merging. They still know they're different from Krishna, so you won't get sayujya from that. Because otherwise, I don't know where else you'll put the sayujya.
Yeah, sayujya was with Shanta.
Yeah, but at the same time, is they don't merge. They're just absorbed in Krishna. They see Krishna everywhere. They see all the variety in everything. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, then you're going to have a problem when you get to the other end.
The cows are in Shantaras.
Yeah, cows are in Shantaras.
And they are doing service of giving milk to Krishna.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they can't do some service.
Usually Shantaras means they just appreciate, they don't do service.
It's not that they don't do it. It's not that they're not engaged in something, but it's that, you know, that they come there, they offer prayers, they do different things, the Shanta Bhaktas. In Vaikuntha, they're all Shanta or Dasya. Like that. So then it's not a problem. It's not that Shanta doesn't do anything.
Narad Muni is in Shanta.
Narad Muni is in Shanta, so he's always doing something. He's also in so many other rasas. Mm-hmm. But
can we see this impersonalist or like Buddhist idea in Shanta Ras?
No, because then you appreciate the Lord, the person. So how are they appreciating the Lord if perfection is blowing out the candle?
Like Brahma is also an aspect of the Lord, so we can see we also appreciate Lord.
Yeah, but then, the Brahma form. But then, at some point, Brahma disappears because everything became void.
Hmm?
Void's not appreciating. Right? You appreciate, you keep it. You take it, toss it out, that means you don't appreciate it. So in other words, their appreciation is for a purpose of getting rid of it. So they appreciate Brahma so that they improve their focus so they can get rid of Brahma.
So there's Brahma bodies, they are Shantaras.
No, they're just Brahma bodies. Shantaras starts when you accept the Lord as a person and you appreciate his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. That's Shantaras in devotion. Like that. You're just merged in Brahman. That's just liberation. No Shantaras. That's why I'm saying you can't really compare them nicely.
Statement.
You have a confusion about which statement?
It mentions about that Krishna's enjoyment was internal and not external. So when we say that Krishna's enjoyment is internal, it implies it's on the position of Atmaram. And therefore, if it is Atmaram, then it is he is self-sufficient by himself. So outside of him, the gopis are not required. So then how is it that now the gopis are coming in the picture, which is external?
So you want a totally internal, no need of gopis, rasa dance.
At least that is what it means over here, his enjoyment was internal.
No, that's you can't say that's what it means. That's what it appears to you when you look at it. Means is what the acharya said. But you do have to remember these people do know grammar and logic. And they are freed from, they're liberated, so they are freed from all making mistakes, imperfect senses, illusion, and cheating. You know? And because the point is, these words can be taken in so many ways. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, I say, ooh, it's cool. What does that mean?
I'm not the literal meaning, it's cool. It's cool means it's... I mean, it's cool.
It's cool means, what does it mean it's cool? But what are we referring to?
The weather,
right? Means the temperature is lower. If I go, ooh, it's cool, then now what am I saying? Street. Socially, it's got some status. You know, there's some street cred there, right? But I said the same statement. Mm-hmm. So we, according to our conditioning, take the statement how we like to take it. But the acharyas, they're saying it how it's meant. So that's the whole idea, is we learn from them how to use the words, how to use these phrases, how to understand.
How the word-to-word translation is giving the literal meaning of it? This
means it's showing how it's used. Although they were self-satisfied, Atmarama, the Munis developed devotion to Krishna. Now, did we notice, at least, was it that it's brought out in, the last canto and in this canto, that... when the devotees are offering prayers, and if you go back in any of them, that much of the time that they are pointing out the opposites in Krishna, even though he's Atmarama, he's taking care of his devotees, even though he's equal to everyone, then he's Bhaktivatsa. Don't we see that? So then that's all that they're doing here. Though they were self-satisfied, they developed devotion to Krishna. It's internal. That means he's having the rasa dance. What's he appreciating? He's internally appreciating all their beauty. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say you go to the Louvre, okay?
Yeah.
The Louvre.
What's that?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, not Wulumaru. We're not talking that one. We're not talking Yazi Lu. There's one of the more famous or most famous museums in, I think it's in Paris, you know, that where they have all the big art, you know, all the big bug guys. So Mona Lisa that I know of sits there.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So now, when you look at the picture of Mona Lisa, then how are you enjoying it, internally or externally?
Internally.
You don't really enjoy it.
Huh?
You don't enjoy it.
Okay. Speaking from experience, you go there and the guy bumps you out of the way and this and that, and then when you get there, how big would you think Mona Lisa is?
It's not that big.
No, I'm always thinking it's a regular sized picture. It's some little dinky thing, you know? Yeah. You know, it's like one of those ones you put on your desk at work, you know, that size. You
know. Family member.
Yeah, yeah, like that. So then what's the problem? Okay? Yeah, because we've defined no internal means that it has to be Atmaram, means that Krishna has to be sitting there in a lotus position, means he has to be staring at a blank wall for 7 hours, means he has to, you know, no, we don't do that. What we're doing is being trained what it actually means. That's why we had the last chapter before this chapter. Because all these things should be removed by this time. But if not, then they'll be removed now. What wasn't caught last chapter, now you'll catch this chapter. Point is, it's about the interaction based on the relationship. That's the whole important thing. Okay? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Okay, now it'll be put into terminology that may make more sense. Right? Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus has no desire that needs to be fulfilled because he is always full with six opulences, he still wanted to enjoy the company of the gopis in the rasa dance. Bhagavan Api signifies that this dance is not like the ordinary dancing of young boys and young girls. The specific words used in Srimad Bhagavatam are yoga mayam upasthitaha, which means that this dancing with the gopis is on the platform of yoga maya, not mahamaya. The dancing of young boys and girls within the material world is in the kingdom of Mahamaya, or the external energy. The rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis is on the platform of Yogamaya. The difference between the platforms of Yogamaya and Mahamaya is compared in the Chaitanya Charitamrita to the difference between gold and iron. We could say they're both metal, but the point is there is a difference between gold and iron. Like that. This is one way to get Mayavadis, like that, you know. It's all one. Okay, I'm changing my, you know, you have the, sometimes you buy in the side of the road, the guys that make, with horseshoes, they make the rings and bracelets and stuff like that. So I'll change that one for your gold one, because it's all one, right?
Yeah.
Huh? No, because they don't believe in their philosophy. It just sounds good. From the viewpoint of metallurgy, gold and iron are both metals, but the quality is completely different. Similarly, although the rasa dance and Lord Krishna's associate with the gopis appears like the ordinary mixing of young boys and girls, the quality is completely different. The difference is appreciated by great Vaishnavas because they can understand the difference between love of Krishna and lust. So, therefore, from the Atmarama platform, where you have no material desires to satisfy, you can appreciate, actually, the transcendental desires that are being exchanged in the rasa dance. Right? Because we have to give up the idea that Atmarama is the top. The Atmarama is the bottom of spiritual. Right? And then below the bottom of spiritual is material. So you have to get yourself from material up to spiritual, and the bottom of that is Atmarama. Then the real thing starts. You know, like we said, it's the plate. Yes?
So what defines person who remains on the Atmarama level, doesn't want to move up?
It's just their taste. It's just taste, that's all. So either they're Atmarama, so they're attached to Gyan, so they'll still be part of the material world, or then they're Atmaram within Bhakti, and they're satisfied there, so then they'll appreciate Krishna and the Shantaras. So we see is here, as I mentioned before, those sages, the Munis, developed devotion to Krishna, right? So like those Municharis, that they're brought up because the Municharis are one of the groups. That'll be explained later.
Yeah.
Right? So they're Atmarama, but they still develop devotion and attraction to Krishna. But as Atmaramas, they're not attracted to anything in this world. So that's what's being established, is Krishna's performing these pastimes, but there's no material desire, there's no material interest. So that's why it's different from what happens in the material world. Is that?
Atmaram is at Vijnanmaya level or Anandmaya level? Atmaram realization?
It depends upon their realization. But I mean, actual Atmarama technically means Anandamaya. But it's the bottom of Anandamaya. It's the platform on which everybody else in Anandamaya is situated. But some people are just happy with the situation, while other people, then it's just, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you go into one of these super fancy hotels, just sitting in the lobby, it's nice. Right? So that's the Atmarama platform. Then there's other people who just walk through the lobby and go up to their room. Is that? Yeah. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has explained that lust means sense gratification, and love also means sense gratification, but for Krishna. In other words, when activities are enacted on the platform of personal sense gratification, they are called material activities. But when they are enacted for the satisfaction of Krishna, they are called spiritual activities. On any platform of activities, the principle of sense gratification is there. But on the spiritual platform, sense gratification is for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whereas on the material platform, it is for the performer. For example, on the material platform, when a servant serves a master, he is trying to satisfy not the senses of his master, but rather his own senses. The servant would not serve the master if the payment stopped. That means that the servant engages himself in the service of the master just to satisfy his own senses. On the spiritual platform, however, the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead serves Krishna without payment, and he continues his service in all conditions. That is the difference between Krishna consciousness and material consciousness. Right? So that's the whole point, is it's just about pleasing Krishna. So it's not about the situations. We're worried about removing unfortunate ones and bringing about good ones and this and that. So we're only thinking about that in relationship to Krishna, how it'll please Krishna. But otherwise, the particular situation or experience itself is not actually an obstacle. Right? Prema is such that what is blissful may appear like distress, or what is distressful may appear to be blissful. So that's the whole thing. It just depends upon how it's functioning, the environment, everything that's happening there. Because when it's connected to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, he being satisfied, everybody's satisfied. Right? So at this point we have to see is that the gopis, their interaction with Krishna is transcendental. They're simply trying to please Krishna. They're not trying to please themselves. Right? Here in the material world, this interaction between boys and girls, people are trying to please themselves. But here, they're just doing it to please the other person. That's all that's going on. So it's being done to please Krishna. Right? And Krishna just wants to please the devotees. And what's the devotee's pleasure is pleasing Krishna. So Krishna interacts in such a way that he's pleased, that pleases the devotee. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if Krishna wants to dance with the girls want to be there to dance with him. That will please Krishna. And Krishna wants to please the devotee by fulfilling their desire to please him by the dancing. Right? Sense gratification means it's about ourselves. Right, so that the senses are engaged and there's gratification of the senses, that's not the problem. So sense gratification is for Krishna is called spiritual, bhakti. Sense gratification for ourselves, that's material. So that's the difference. Right? It's the same. Krishna walks around on his feet. It's not that it's spiritual, so they all walk around on their head, right? Because it's the opposite, so we're walking on hands. So in the spiritual world, everyone walks around on their feet. Hands. Right? No, it's still the same thing. It's a reflection here of the same thing. You scratch your head in the mirror, you're using your fingers in the mirror and scratching your head in the mirror. The difference is you get no satisfaction by scratching the mirror. So,
Maharaj, this is what is being explained about this Krishna consciousness, where devotees want to please
louder,
Krishna.
Please.
Devotees want to please Krishna.
Right.
So the sense gratification in the spiritual world is for the pleasure of Krishna.
Right.
So then, between the ashraya and the vishaya, it can be either, depending upon the situation.
It can be either what?
Either vishaya or ashraya would initiate the process.
No, vishaya is initiating the process.
Yes, always. Ashraya will never, because
means at this point we're just getting into that.
Yeah, at this point it is that.
Yeah.
This is generic question.
Yeah. So, who played the flute?
Krishna, yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
So, Maharaj, can we see that Krishna is our real self?
Krishna is our real self.
Because Krishna based on everybody become happy.
He is the supreme self, let's put it that way. And we are part and parcel of the supreme self, just like your finger is part of the whole body. So you please the body, then the finger is happy.
So we can also say the finger, I mean the body is the real self of the finger.
Yes, but not that the finger is the body. That's why we refer to it as the supreme self, the self of the self. We're the self, but he's the self of the self. So that's how then we have meaning because of our connection with Krishna.
So he's the self of self.
Yes, he's not the self. He could be say he's the self and we're a self. But the self is the self of all selves. And we're an individual self that will remain an individual self before, during, and after liberation. And Krishna will remain in his position also, not changing. And nothing, you'll end up with no vacuum. Right?
Yeah.
So, in other words, in the spiritual world, there is no Dyson. Does that make sense? Right? Because there is no vacuum. No dust, so they don't need a dust. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
You were telling me that Krishna is also in the heart of the jiva, not just the body, the heart part, the jiva's heart also.
Yeah, he's in everything.
So, because he's present there, so when he pleases Krishna, he's pleased within the heart of the living. So that's why everybody's pleased.
But even if he's outside as Paramatma in the body, still you're pleased. And if he's outside that, you know, as the deity, if he's pleased, you're pleased. So the point is, when Krishna is pleased, it's not that he has to be inside you, that's what makes you pleased. It's that you're connected to Krishna, you're pleased. Because you're already inside Krishna. So. Yes? No? Any more existential crises before we move on?
Yeah, it seems that everything is inside. Krishna is inside, we're inside Krishna.
Yeah, it's all... Yes, but it's all different. That's the point of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. All these things are there, but here it's going on that platform, but it's about the rasa. Mm-hmm. It's not about the impersonal platform. That's why it keeps being pointed out. When on the transcendental platform, all those aspects that we attribute to the transcendence is there, but it's not about the experience of transcendence. It's about the experience of the rasa with that supreme transcendental person. Does that make sense? That's the word. Okay. Because we're looking at it that the transcendental, it itself has a particular taste, and we want that taste, but that's not actually the taste. The taste is the loving exchange between the living entity and Krishna, not the liberated platform.
So, can we understand that, that we are oneness with Krishna simultaneously different from Him?
Yes. One means in quality, but not in quantity. He's unlimited, we're limited. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. We're not getting bigger. It's not that, you know, oh, he's a special soul. He's, you know, 1/10,001th, you know, the tip of the hair. You know, he's got that extra little, you know, 1/10,000th. So he's a, you know, how you say, fatter jiva. You know, the skinny jivas and the fat jivas. You know. You can generally tell by what pants they're wearing. But yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the eastern horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all those who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kumkum. So then now we see is that much of the a lot of kavya will be used. You know, because this is, you know, brings out the mood and everything that's there. So coming up in that, so it's very, very nice just like this, because when you have separation, there's separation that's close and there's separation that's far. Right, so then far will be greater than what's close. And so that's what he's saying. Then it's like when the husband comes back after a long absence. Right? And then he interacts. Then that's going to be, you know, very much appreciated. So like that, then that creates that nice mood. Right? Because the gopis are separated from Krishna, now they get the opportunity to be with him. Yes? No? Are we kind of getting into rocket science here?
No.
Huh?
Not yet.
I'm not sure.
But we're definitely not getting into blowing out the candle, right? Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, right? And this is the the first page of 5 chapters, so it's only going to get more, right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Krishna developed more desire on this day than other days. That is indicated by the words tada at that time. Oh, okay, so when you do something and it's the time has come, tada. See, yeah, so it's a standard thing, right? It's Vedic. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, much likely these all come from there, and somehow or another, because it sticks, people do it. You know? You know, so it goes. Like we said the other day, what was it? Abracadabra?
Yeah.
Then it was about Krishna. You're revealing, you know, he's the hidden thing and you're revealing like that. You know? So, so it's a, you know. You know, it goes back sometimes. But, okay. Moving on. Sri Sukadeva Swami continued. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the full moon, glowing with red effulgence of newly applied vermilion, as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's present and the forest gently illuminated by its rays. Right? So then the moon gives a very, very nice illumination, very pleasant, very cooling. Because in the autumn, it's just that time when that it's not hot, it's not cold, and so that pleasantness of the coolness is very much appreciated. Right? And so we also see here is that the point of putting that red effulgence on their face, a little bit of that, like in the modern, the rouge is not a new thing. We'll think that's modern. That's pretty standard. You know, if you do purple or black, that's new. But if you're using red, that's standard. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, seeing the moon and feeling his love aroused, he went to the forest, and seeing it tinged with the rays of the moon, he went to the bank of the Jamuna in that forest, still famous today as Rasauli village. There he began to play a song using his attractive flute. Right, so he sees that it's the perfect night for this, because Rupa Goswami mentions he saw that this is the perfect time and all that. So then he decided this is the night for calling all the gopis, because he said before he would then fulfill their desires in the future. He mentioned the next autumn. Right? Thus, the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful-eyed gopis. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Seeing the moon and feeling... Oh, we went through this. He went to the forest, seeing the tinged rays of the moon. He went to the bank of the Jamuna in that forest, till famous today as Rasali village. There he began to play a song using his attractive flute. This verse describes the particular teachings of the flute that appeared on this night. As on others, he had become lethargic for association. Of all these women, who are the most exalted women, in order to give special instructions on his flute for attaining Radha, the dearest among them, seeing a likeness of her face in the moon, he wondered if it was her, and by remembering her at that time, then sang on his flute. In wondering if the moon was Radha, some details are given to show the similarity. Kumut means Kumuda, night lotus. According to Vishva Prakasha, the moon was like a lotus, or lotuses bloomed when the moon rose. Concerning her face, Kumut means giving joy to the earth. Since Radha is the supreme woman, the moon is complete with 16 digits. Akanda Mandalam. In relation to Radha, it means having all elements of her face arranged in proper proportions. Like that. So everything's perfect, exactly how everything is. Because the symmetry and all that, that's what actually creates beauty. Sometimes we're wondering what makes one face more beautiful than another. It's actually symmetry. Like that. So if it's not, it means that it's not as symmetrical. There's some difference in it. And the more it's exactly the same, then those elements will be. Right? So hers is perfectly arranged. So the moon has 16 elements. This moon, I think the moon has 16. The sun has 12, and I think fire has 10. And so like this, then for the moon, then it's all perfectly arranged, because that's where it comes from. In other words, the beauty of the moon is going to come from Radha. Right? Krishna then, and Radha is the one who pleases Krishna the most. Right? So therefore, then, in his position of being pleased, that's Aniruddha. Aniruddha represents the moon. So then, what does that mean? Krishna is pleased with things connected to Radha, or her service, or service done by her, or people who render service to her, to Krishna. Right? That's where, then, Prayojana is. Right? So we see it all starts with this interaction between Krishna and Radha. The moon was red like a ball of kumkuma. Radha's face was flushed with a reddish tinge of kumkuma. The sweetness attracted the women, and softness made each of them think the flute was calling them personally by name. He played the flute so that it was attractive to those who had their appropriate love. Vama drisham manoharam. This means he played a special raga to incite only Madhurya Rasa, right? Because when he goes out in the day or in the morning time, I think in the late morning with the cowherd boys, right? Then the flute he plays there is for inspiring, either as he's leaving Vrindavan and everybody, there's a general thing. But when he's out, then he plays things that inspire the boys. Or when he comes back in the evening, then he plays those on his flute so that all the Brajbasis will be inspired. But here he's playing. Did he use the word raga? A special raga that only Madhurya Rasa would be excited. So only the gopis would hear this and appreciate this. The others wouldn't. So you don't have, how you say, all the cows coming running and all that kind of thing. Because otherwise it'd be really dangerous. The gopis are trying to come out there, and then the cows are coming. Yeah, that's something that the nerds put together because, they like stuff like that. But no, it doesn't work like that. And the next verse explains that the song increased passion. Ananga Vardhanam. This was called Madhya Madhi Raga. So this is the raga. So he played that in a nice way, very sweetly, very softly. Madhyadi Raga arises from the Madhyam Grama, employing the fourth note at the end, devoid of the second and sixth notes. This raga should be sung in the evening for Madhurya Rasa. Okay, so it only has five notes then. And then it'll end on the Madhyama, on the fourth note. Ma means the fourth note. Ridha means the second and sixth notes. Graha means note of the scale, swara. At this time, Krishna played the flute called Akarshini, made of gold. He also played a particular song, right? Because the gold will have that softness to it. Right? Because gold, if you touch it, it's soft. You know, even though we're not talking about squeezing it, just the touch of it is soft. So therefore, it'll give that soft sound. That'll be very attractive to the gopis.
Right? I don't remember, but I think one of the acharyas says that Krishna has a song for every living entity on his flute. Is that...
That I don't know. I haven't heard. But, you know, he plays for all the different situations.
Now, but here we spoke about the group, more or less, and Radharani separate.
Yeah, but he's playing for Radharani, but it'll attract the whole group, because the whole point is to dance with Radharani and also enjoy the dancing of all the other gopis like that. That's the idea. Then we'll see at the end of this chapter that the gopis, they think it's about themselves, not about Radha and Krishna. Therefore, that's why then some adjustments have to be made, and we spend the next four chapters working that out. Right? And esoterically, even the kambijas indicated by the combination Vama Drishaha with Kalam. This represents the first three letters of kambija, K-L-I. That bija is described as Manoharam, attractor of the mind. Since the deity of the mind is the moon, the meaning of Manoharama is endowed with the moon or Chandrabindu. The sound of the flute is naturally endowed with nod, spiritual sound. Kala tu maya, Lavaka tu murtihi, Kala kvanad venu ninad ramyaha. Krishna is the embodiment of the kambija, soft bewildering sound. When he pleasantly and softly plays the flute, Krama Deepika, that's from the Krama Deepika. Oh, so Krama Deepika means Jiva Goswami's commentary, right? Okay. Oh, okay, this is also known as the Krama Sandarbha, right? Okay, either name. Okay.
Maharaj, Krishna is the embodiment of the Kama Beach.
Yes. Otherwise, where do you get it from? What's our mood when chanting the Kama Gayatri? To pay attention and, you know, to hear with attention. What's the mood when we chant Hare Krishna?
Same.
Yeah, so then it won't be any different. Does that make sense?
Because sometimes devotees who are first initiated, they request the second initiative devotees that if at all they have any problems in their life, then they should, while chanting the Kama Gayatri, pray for them about their problems to be solved. So
I should, while chanting my Gayatri, be praying to solve the other guy's problem.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
But why Kama Gayatri? Why not Gaur Gayatri? Or why not Hare Krishna? Or why not Mangal Acharan?
About desires. That's
because Kama Gayatri is about desires.
That's why that is what is the general idea.
That's Indian speculation.
I'm impressed. I am really impressed with that one. Yeah, I've never heard. There are no honkies saying that one. That's not happening.
It's not true. That
why would you do that? Why? It means the point is if you want to pray, you pray. You Kama Gayatri means you're meditating on Krishna. You're not talking about saving this other person.
In the Brahma Samhita purport where the Kama Gayatri is mentioned, there it states that it fulfills all spiritual material. So maybe this is coming from that.
Yeah, so then get it together. Get second initiated. Then they can chant their Kama Gayatri with what other desire they want. But why would you come and say, you know, it's like coming and saying, you know, when you eat your dinner tonight, you know, especially when you're chewing on the paneer, you know, on its own without the cauliflower and all that, please remember me to, you know, that my child may pass his exam. What is this got to do with anything? It's your sadhana. That's your sadhana to practice. They want you to pray for them. Then when you're in front of the deities, pray for them. But what's it got to do with your chanting of the Kama Gayatri?
Because the general understanding is that Kama Gayatri fulfills desires very quick.
This is like a double bang of the head on the table. This is like a...
Devotees, I've seen that they want something.
They want something for nothing. That's what they want. That's what they want. They want to do nothing, and the other person who worked hard and got to the point of second initiated, and they want them to fulfill all their desires with their Kama Gayatri.
They want something between Krishna and demigod, some ex-being, because they have heard many bad things about demigod worship and all, and Krishna didn't work for 30 years for them. So now...
they want something in between.
In between the thing. So they approach, like, second initiated... somebody's an astrologer.
To that, but in other words, you shouldn't pray when you're like chanting the Gaur Gayatri or something.
Not for them. Oh, okay. Somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else. Yeah. My friend, maybe. Yeah. For me, no. That's such a misuse of the whole point. It's that the chanting of the Gayatri, that is your sadhana. That's you're supposed to be remembering Krishna. So that's what you do. What has it got to do with this person and their, you know, their son passing his, you know, medical exam?
I will not do no from next year.
Yes. And neither should everybody else be doing. Mm-hmm. That's part of your sadhana. You know, have you ever heard anybody ever explain it that chanting of your Gayatri is for the benefit of all the others who want to get all their material desires fulfilled? Right? It's announced that today, you know, we're initiating these, you know, ten devotees into the Brahman initiation and all that. So I know that there's so many of you there. There's 10,000 of you here in the community, and it's really tough finding enough Brahmins to get all your desires fulfilled when they chant the Kama Gayatri. But now there's 10 more people who you can approach. So that means now instead of 10,000 of you on one guy, now only 1,000 you have to go to one guy. Like that. But next year there'll be more. So then instead of, it'll be 500 of you can go to the one guy. You know, so like this, over the years it'll get easier and easier.
They should pay.
Set up a little stand here.
Win-win.
Okay. We don't do this. That's not what it's for. You can ask someone, please, I'm having trouble in my spiritual life, please, and you're so nice and this and that, if you pray for me, that's there. But to make specific that when you're chanting, now, where in the, do they make specific which word or which mantra, part of the mantra, where you should pray and stuff like that? So, like that, Does that make sense? Yeah, I was just saying, which part? They want to be whacked with a flower? They want to end up with no body? I mean, which part of it is that they're looking at? It's like...
I guess clean, huh?
Like that. But then that use works for anything. So they could, when they're doing the puja, you're doing all the different things like that, then... tell them to just... don't do that kind of stuff. That's not what... in other words, having been born in India in, some variety of practicing Hindu background, that's not what you're supposed to use those pious credits for. You're supposed to use those for being nicely situated in and comfortable with doing those things, as opposed to those who are not from the culture and they can't figure out, what happens if you're, is it all right because my Gayatri takes a little extra time and my thumb is really turning purple? Is that all right? Is it the more purple it is? Is that more advanced? Am I going to get more benefit from that? And that's the questions that they ask in the West. So slightly different. Each has their own.
One devotee asked if he could chant the Gayatri in the bathroom.
In the bathroom?
Because that's the only place at work that it was quiet and nobody could bother him, but inside the toilet.
In the toilet? Oh, you mean in the little room, not in the shower?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if he's in the bathtub, you know, half submerged in water, then. No, they don't have bathtubs. And this is the toilet that's right next to the kitchen, that one.
It was in the workplace.
Oh, in the workplace.
It's in the workplace.
Hide away place.
Oh, okay, okay. I wouldn't recommend it, but.
He said that was the only place.
The Japa, maybe. That's what Gorky Shore does, Babaji Maharaj would do. But Gayatri is generally meant for the pure. But I mean, it's just better to chant it there than not chant it at all.
That was his point.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not ideal. I'm sure he can find someplace else.
Anyway, that's the.
Means all the guys there, so all the guys, when they want to get away and smoke the cigarette or do that, they all go in the bathroom, right? So then how does he get through the whole mantra? The other guys will be banging on the door because they'll want to. You know what I'm saying? So they're all finding a place to be peaceful. He can also find a place. You know, it's just the toilet's right there while the park is 5 minutes away and he has to walk 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back, and, you know.
Yeah, just example of questions.
Yes, example of questions. Yes, yes. So, yeah. These questions do go on. But this one, I must say, is a new, new one. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna's thinking. Krishna is thinking. In dealing with them, I will produce opposite effects. Though the intimate words of the bashful gopis are hidden by natural pride, I will reverse things and hear those words. Just as the parts of the body of a woman hidden by her clothing become objects of great admiration and attraction, so the woman's eagerness, being hidden by her external pride, also becomes attractive. Those experienced in relationships understand this, but nothing is manifest. However, the male lover sometimes desires to see the body of the woman in uncovered state, and similarly also desires to hear her words of eagerness, which are usually hidden by external pride. But he does not desire to see or hear these intimate things in front of even his intimate friends or what to speak of others. Thus, at that time, Krishna was not in association with his cowherd friends. Right? So the rasa dance, there are no friends. When he goes out at night, there's no friends. When he goes for the midday pastimes, then he may go with some of his close, intimate friends. Right? But when he goes for the night pastimes, there are no friends, because that then has that particular intimacy that you won't get in the noonday pastimes. Noonday, they just spend the time together, and then, you know, they do all kinds of fun stuff. Right? But at night, it has that more flavor of intimacy. But, so here is that the intimate words that they would speak, but they hide that by their bashfulness. So generally they tend not to speak it. So they'll either react in a contrary way, elusive way, or shyness, so you don't hear. So Krishna says he will produce opposite effects. He'll make it go the other way. He'll get them to, what do you call it? To speak these things. So that's part of then how he's going to deal. Does that make sense? Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. So they're all going, each one of them is thinking they're just going alone, because Krishna, by how he played the flute, each one of them thought he was playing their name. Right? So then they're all moving. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
Yeah. The footnote.
Footnote 3. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 4 to the Bhagavad Akramritsimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhurima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. And so just this, yeah, just the fullness of their, the affection that they had for Krishna, and that its natural flowing towards Krishna. Right, that they're going there very quickly, unknown to each other. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the gopis went towards Krishna as if they were puppets pulled by the strings of the song of the flute. The song was not only attractive, but increased their love. Right? So both aspects are going up. Their attraction is going up, and their affection is going up. So both are going up. So it's not just attraction. It's both are happening. And then what's the effect? Then they're, you know, they're attracted, so then they're performing an activity of going towards Krishna. Krishna sent the expert thief called the Song of the Flute. This thief entered through the open, innocent ears of the gopis into the treasury room of their hearts, plundering the great treasures of control, shame, fear, and discrimination, along with their minds. The thief quickly returned and offered the treasures to Krishna. Thus the text says that the gopis, whose minds and things related to the mind, were received by Krishna, Krishna Grihita Manasaha, went to Krishna in order to retrieve these things from the thief. Right? So Krishna's flute came and stole, you know, basically all their various feelings and sentiments and everything, because it increased their attraction and attachment to Krishna, and all that was taken back to Krishna. So now to come get that back, because Krishna stole it, now they're coming to meet Krishna. Thus afflicted, the gopis were not aware of the other gopis going to Krishna and began to chase the thief to catch him. Where did they go? They went to that place where their beloved was standing. With great haste, with the earrings, also indicating also bracelets and anklets, swinging. Right? Because if the earrings are moving, then everything else is. Because if you can, the ankles are going to move, or the bangles may move when you're going at a slower pace. But if the earrings are moving, that means everything's moving. Right? The thief did not regard the external ornaments worthy of stealing. Right? So that's not what he was interested in. That's what he's saying is about the internal. He wanted to see the flavors, the moods, the taste of the different kinds of aspects of love that they have. That's what he was interested in. That's why it says it's internal. Okay? Yeah, okay. Because if you're an Atmarama, these things are not... tasted. Okay? We see? Yeah. That's why we have to appreciate that gyan has its limit. Right? So they're only describing the situations of rasa. They can't express rasa. That they're never going to tell. That's experienced only. But they can tell the situation which are there, so you can appreciate the quality of it, but not it itself. Yes?
When we relish those descriptions, does it mean that we taste a little bit?
Yes, a little bit.
But they taste it, or we experience our own taste in...
No, but the point is their taste is the taste that would be tasted. Right? We're the assistants in this taste. So then we can taste something, that's what we're there. But the point, the difference is we may be tasting a fraction of a portion of a drop, but they're tasting an unlimited ocean. So by practicing, by the process of devotional service, by moving forward in one's practice, then that taste gets greater and greater. That's the whole idea. Because that's what is there. That's the point. The sweetness of rasa, you see, that's chapter 20. That's the end of the work. There's nothing more than that. Right? There's the variety that's there by the previous, but then there's the sweetness. That we taste it in the variety, but it's about the sweetness that's the outstanding. Right? Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, in the last verse, the song was described as attractive. The intention of the present description of the flute is to show the intensity of the attraction. Right, so it's so intense that they're just running out to see Krishna. They don't even notice each other. Right? This love, ananga, without material parts, is a type of prema and excludes material lust completely. Right, so that's another point of yes. Ananga without material parts means that there is no material. It's just the transcendental pleasure, that just that pure absorption in prema. So that's the whole point. Is a type of prema and excludes material lust completely. Or, though it is without material parts, it has spiritual components. The women of Braja, having new youth, had their minds attracted or absorbed in Krishna. previous because of this his attractive nature. Hearing this song, they went to him.
The sages of Dandakaranya and all the other groups, can we say that this is how they, that was the stage of their poor brother?
For them, if they went, then yes. And if they didn't go, that means they weren't at that stage. And that purport will be here somewhere? The big purport about who didn't go. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, next three verses, 5-7, describe how they went to him, giving up duties and local custom, with disinterest in their bodies because of the agitation caused by the most attractive song, since they were eager to go there with strong determination. First, giving up their designated duties is described. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Some of the gopis were milking cows when they heard Krishna's flute. They stopped milking and went off to meet him. Some left curd, milk curdling on the stove, and others left cakes burning in the oven. Some of them were getting dressed, feeding milk to their infants, or rendering personal service to their husbands. But they all gave up these duties and went to meet Krishna. Other gopis were taking their evening meals, washing themselves, putting on cosmetics, or applying kajal to their eyes. But all the gopis stopped these activities at once, and though their clothes and ornaments were in complete disarray, rushed off to Krishna. Right? So that's also that point of ananga. It's not about the physical position. It's just about the attraction or, that they have for Krishna. That's the absorption.
So the flute is udipana.
Sorry?
The flute is udipana.
Yes, and this you could say is the udipana. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, first giving up ordinary duties, right? Because the flute is the main thing of all the rasas in Vrindavan. But here the flute is just being attracted to attract the gopis. But otherwise, it's the favorite thing of every resident of Vrindavan. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, first giving up ordinary duties, though they were dedicated to dharma and chastity, was described. Some ignored their own bodies. They did not eat. This indicates that they dedicated their bodies to the Lord's pleasure. From this, it is understood that because of their absorption in prema for Krishna, they did not distinguish between pure and impure for their bodies. Some had been decorating their bodies with sandalwood. By giving this up, they showed indifference to their bodies. Some were not aware of the correct limbs and put the ornaments on the wrong limbs. Previously, this attitude was described as the anubhava vibhrama, a strong inclination to reject everything. Valabha prapti velayam maranavesha sambhramat vibhramo hara malyadi bhusha stana viparyayaha. When at the time of going to meet her lover, the heroine places necklaces, flower garlands, and other ornaments in the wrong places, when agitated by the onslaught of intense passion, is called vibhrama. Ujjvala Nilamoni, 11:39, right? So it's just all these different kinds of aspects where they're not. So as we said here, then some of them are this vibhrama is here, or they're not worried about the body, or different aspects. So all these different symptoms were coming up. It should be understood that their identity depended on their prema for the Lord, not on dressing. But later, Krishna himself dressed them properly. In the list starting from milking, those later in the list are considered superior for having given up things more essential for the body. So as it goes, you see then it's most here. So then it's the last one, applying kajal to the eyes. So we can see that's the most important one out of all of them. Like that. So that's why they can sell kajal for so much money, right? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is in full consciousness, he does not care for any worldly duties, even though they are very urgent. Right? Because they left milk, you know, on the stove. They left cakes on the stove. You know, all these different things that, you know, you have to do at that time. They're time bound. Milking the cows is time bound.
Even the babies.
The babies, yes. So it's all time bound. So they gave everything up. That's the whole point. They're not worried about that. Even though very urgent, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. That's the whole idea. So we can tell we're advancing by how much we're losing our interest in the material things. Right? Things that have been very important for us for so long, that are less important for us, then that's how we understand this.
This particular practice seems to be beginning from the Gita, like Arjuna is focused on his family members, so that's what we are being focused. Having trained from very beginning?
Yes. Yes, so the point is he's seeing it as family members rather than his service to Krishna. Right? So then out of misplaced sentiment, then the problem comes up. So it's not proper. It's not, it means the duties, yes, in the house, but the point is as Kshatriyas, they have duties. Now they're all on the battlefield to fight. So now it won't be in the house duties, it'll be on the battlefield duties. But he's thinking of the other ones, of the sentiment, and this and that. So the point is when you're a house, you do those things for Krishna. When you're a battlefield, you do that for Krishna. But he was applying the wrong set of values in the wrong place. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Their husbands, fathers, brothers, and other relatives tried to stop them, but Krishna had already stolen their hearts. Enchanted by the sound of his flute, they refused to turn back. Footnote 4. Srila Prabhupada Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 8 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 20, entitled The Sweetness of Rasa, Rasa Madhuri Ma, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. Yes. So, just their determination to just serve Krishna, to attain Krishna, that's there. So they don't care about all the social scenes. We may use the social scenes because they're useful in Krishna consciousness, but if we think the social scenes themselves are what's important, then we've missed the point. It's about pleasing Krishna. It's not that, if we follow all the social etiquettes nicely, then that will be good for Krishna consciousness. No, it's that we want to please Krishna, that's why we follow them. It's not that the material things will create auspiciousness in Krishna consciousness. No, Krishna consciousness creates auspiciousness in these things. So since here is Krishna's calling, then that's the service to do. These other aspects aren't important. Yes.
So we know that Srila Prabhupada, he strongly preached about this point of urgency.
Yes.
But nowadays we don't hear it as much because, people rather say, take your time, don't, it's not that urgent, eternity is before us, so, just, whatever.
No, technically they should say heavenly planets are there before us. That's what they should be saying, not eternity.
Eternity means you can do it any time in the future.
That's why I said heavenly planets. Then you just keep doing that loop.
So, how can we...
So you're saying the manana principle.
Manana, yeah.
Manana. It's just a matter of what you want to do. I mean, it says... It's like the Niti says, you should make money as if you're going to live forever, but you should practice spiritual life like you're going to die at any moment.
Yeah.
So in other words, the urgency is greater. So we're taking it that these other things, the eternity, you got forever to do it, that's all the material stuff. But the urgency is about the spiritual, because we've been doing material stuff since time immemorial and it hasn't gotten us anything, so why we should waste more time? Therefore, the spiritual is the urgency. And if that's there, then other things will go appropriately. Because otherwise, if you're not, it's not urgent about Krishna, what is it urgent about? Because we'll make it urgent about something.
about us.
Yes. So then all it is a thing to, you know, make it about us and fit Krishna in wherever he fits. So then the center becomes the home. But ashram means it's Krishna's the center. That's why it's an ashram. But if the home's the center, then it's not an ashram. Then we're bound by it. We just keep going around and around. But ashram means you elevate yourself. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you see the bulls. They just go around and around and around in circles. They get nowhere. They could do that forever. Yeah, so like eternity is there before them. They could go around in circles forever.
Because it's too pushy, people are uncomfortable to hear that, we are not comfortable to say that, you know, and like that.
Yeah, that's there. And then bring up some issue of the day and then they're pushy as anything. You know what I'm saying? So it's all it is they're choosing what they're pushy about, what's not.
Yeah.
All it is they only want to be pushed where they want to be pushed. So the point is then, yeah, you encourage them and leave it at that. And then you find those who actually are interested in spiritual life. And those are the people you associate with. The other ones you put in your, you know, whatever time they can handle and benefit so that they progress. But who you're going to spend your time with is those who see the actual urgency. So that's there. And then if you have a group of people like that, that's the ones then you'll focus more on preaching. And the others, you do whatever you can because they can't be pushed. So it's just whatever here and there, whenever they like. And so you leave it, you know, more open to them. Like that. Does that make sense? So it just means that you can't show very much compassion because they can't handle compassion. Like that. Neither can they give. So that goes both ways. They can't be pushed, but they're very pushy. Like that.
How about this selective pushy thing? Bhaktivikas Maharaj said that the only time in our movement we speak strongly is to stop all those people who are speaking strongly.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, though reminded by their relatives, they lost all sense of discrimination because of attraction to the Lord. Right? So they lost that consideration of the material dharma. Then dharma is supposed to be for pleasing Krishna. So their attraction to performing their religious duties, the eternal religious duties of pleasing Krishna. So then in this way, then that discrimination for material duties then was given up. Though they were all prevented by their husbands and others, by showing them dharma and by holding their hands, they could not be stopped. They went. Why? They had lost all discrimination. Why? Because of the king of Gokula, Govinda, or he who rules over the senses. Because he controls the senses. Those who were scant in materials were robbed by he who was greatest in ownership. Since their minds had been internally stolen by the internal Lord, who was most attractive and ruled their lives, they could not be stopped. Because internally, therefore, they're trying to externally try to stop them in that, but they can't, because internally they're already there with Krishna. So then, it's just the way it's going to work. It's going to happen in that way. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, this Parakiya Rasa is ever existent in Goloka Vrindavan. In the spiritual world, or in the spiritual sky, where there is no possibility of the inebriety which characterizes Parakiya Rasa in the material world. In the material world, Parakiya Rasa is abominable, whereas in the spiritual world, it is present in the super-excellent relationship of Krishna and the gopis. And so there, it's because it's based on the natural attraction between the living entity and the Lord. Then it's just one of the flavors. It has its natural form. So in the spiritual world, then it's just an expression of rasa. In the material world, then, you know, because it's about pleasing Krishna and interacting with Krishna. In the material world, then it's about ourselves, pleasing ourselves. So that's why in the material world it's abominable. But in the spiritual world, then it's the highest, most intense form of rasa. Okay. Okay, so now we get into the different kinds of gopis and all that. So that's a whole nother topic. So I think we'll stop here. Oh, we started. Maybe that's why. We started 2 minutes early, we end 2 minutes early. So it worked out. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Very good.